It's a little weird. Right, let him just do that, dude. Submission.
If you're doing something. told you, I realized, I'm like, man, I just started with pregnant. I saw you get a little smart. So I was like, man, should have started. Sorry, baby.
Thank you. presence in this place. And the healing of God is falling right here. So one of the members came up to me today and said that a couple of months ago, and the Lord gave me a word and said somebody was in pain and they were being healed right now. And she said to me, I wasn't sure that you could actually do that, but she just said, I said, thank you, Lord, that I have no more pain. And she said she just realized that it's been months and the condition that she had in her stomach is gone and she's totally healed. And that is the healing power of God. And this morning as we're standing here, the Lord's saying there's somebody who's been battling with an ear infection that's been reoccurring in your ear right here. And if that's you, I want you to just receive it right now. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I receive that right now. Thank you, Father, for your healing power right now. There's somebody that's had an issue with their sinuses. It's partly to do with allergies, but it's gotten severe. So you thought about having surgery on your sinuses. It's got that bad. And if that's you, I want you to just receive the healing and power of God right now, right where you're standing. Right where you're standing, that healing power of God is flowing. He pulls it out because it's something that he's doing right now. Somebody else that's had a growth under the ball of their foot, just right by their big toe, and it's been hampering the way you walk. It's hurting you when you walk. It's a problem to you, and therefore the Lord is healing that right now, right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting, he's healing your foot right now. If that's you, just receive it. Just receive it. And if there's anything else that you need when it comes to healing, somebody else is having a problem with their liver, and you say, well, I've got myself to blame for that. I've got myself to blame because of the way that I've treated my body. My liver's responding. The Lord says today's a new day, and I'm going to give you a new liver, and you're going to start afresh, says the Lord. The damage you've done is gone. It's going to be renewed and restored right where you're standing. Right where you're standing. That's you. Just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Somebody else has got pain down the center of their back. It's due to a slip disc. And you feel like no matter what you do, you can't get it right. You have treatment, but it keeps slipping out again. The Lord's healing it for once and for all, putting it in place. Never going to have any more pain today. Just receive that right now. Say, thank you, Lord. Your healing is falling. It's falling in this place. It's falling in this place. As someone who's coming here today and you've got no hope, you say, I have no one. I have nothing. I have nothing to live for. There's no one who cares. There's no one who listens. There's no one I can call. The Lord says, I hear you right now. And I'm sending people to you. And I'm going to surround you with a couple of good friends that are going to be lifelong friends. And they're going to lift you up and they're going to be an encouragement to you. And don't give up hope, says the Lord, for I am with you. I am giving you everything you need. Your heart's cry, just cry to me and I will give you everything that you need, says the Lord. Today, everything is turning around in your life. And it's looking up. You'll never look back, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands in this place. Lift your hands in this place. Say, thank you, Lord, that you meet my every need. Thank you for your healing power flowing through my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, driving out the root of every disease. Nothing will take hold in my body. Thank you, Father, for filling me with joy, with peace today. I cast off all the fears. I cast off all the worries. I cast off anxiety right now. Father, I put my trust in you. Come on, baby, say it. I put my trust in you. You are everything I need. You're everything I need today, tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, don't you just love the presence of the Lord?
When we come to church, I want to keep on emphasizing this. We are not here out of a religious obligation. We are not here out of a religious duty. We are here to meet with God. We are here to receive from Him. And what is happening is the presence of the Lord is in this place today. And let me tell you, if you just reach out to Him, if you just lift your hands unto Him, the Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call unto me, I will answer you. Let me tell you, when you reach out to Him, He will respond. You came here today, and I'm telling you, the Lord wants to meet you. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to do miracles. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to meet every need in your life. I want to encourage you as we sing this final song to sing with us, to worship with us. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Just put all of your attention and all of your focus on worshiping Jesus this morning. Just make Him the most important thing, the most important focus in your life right now is to give praise unto my God, is to worship you, Lord. I came here today to worship you. Say, I came to worship you, Lord. Say, I love to be in your presence. Say, Lord, I'm calling upon you. Thank you for meeting every need in my life. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for filling me with your joy, with your peace, with your presence, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give Him a shout today. Give Him a big hand of praise today. Come on, shake these walls today. Let this hotel here, Christian Family Church, is giving praise to God today. I want them to be down in the lobby and say, what is that? What is that sound? Oh, that's Christian Family Church. They're up in the ballroom. They're praising God. They're worshiping Him. Can you say amen, somebody? Yes. Yes.
Here now, let it go to me. King is soon returning.
I know we have people that come in, you know, maybe someone invites them, or maybe they're just in the hotel and decide to walk in. But however you got here, if you are here for the first time, our ushers have a little gift package they'd like to give you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here? You raising your hand, Pastor Steve? You just did. Okay. Anyone here for the first time today? Anyone here for the first time? Either they're not, or they are, and they're too shy. That happens. But we do love having visitors in our church, right? That's why we've got to invite people. Amen. Welcome to those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us this morning. And I'm excited for the message. I've read over it and thoroughly approved. It's going to be good. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Thank you. Praise God. What a great time of worship this morning. Just want to commend the worship team for doing a wonderful job today. You know, I love music. I love all kinds of music. And we went down to Double Roads. Where is that? Where's Sherry at? She's in Children's Church. We went down to Double Roads. I don't know how many of you know Double Roads Tavern. They have live music. And Rick, on Sunday nights, they have the Jupiter Jazz Club that they, he and his wife arrange. And it's great music. You know, great jazz is wonderful. But the difference with worship is that when you begin to worship the Lord, sing this like we sang today, there's an anointing. There's a presence of God.
Amen.
It's not just good music. And I like good music, but this is another dimension. When you begin to worship the Lord and sing this like we're singing today, that's when God's presence, God's anointing, there's something supernatural that happens. Amen?
Amen.
And if you get here in time for worship, it will be a completely different service for you.
Amen.
When we started out today at 10 o'clock, I thought, dear Lordy, everyone went on vacation. But you're here now. I'm seriously considering, when we move into our new building, I'm seriously considering changing the service to 11.
No.
You're, all the people shouting no are the people not here at 10 o'clock. Well, I'm just thinking about making it a little later so you can all get to the car. Because I want to tell you something right now. When you are here from the very beginning, it's a different service if you walk in halfway through. The worship. I mean, when I came in here today, I can't say I was in the greatest frame of mind for church. But after worship, I'm ready. I'm ready. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready for God's word today?
Yes.
Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
To receive,
receive
the word of God.
God.
My ears are open. My heart is open. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for your word. Your word is what brings us wisdom, faith, hope, direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, the author of this precious book. Holy Spirit, I'm looking to you today to help me, anoint me, speak through me, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation and understanding to every heart, to every mind. Lord, in Jesus' name, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Well, last week, we started a series called The Three Greatest Success Habits. And if you were not, if you missed last week, I would encourage you to get the copy of the CD at the book table out there. Because last week, I'm not going to be able to go back and cover that. I have so much to share with today. But our scripture is Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This is our foundation scripture that we started with last week. And it says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, God said that if you want to be successful, number one, I shared last week, meditate on what God says. Think about what God says. Well, Pastor Steve, how do I know what God says? Well, the Bible contains the Word of God. This is what God says about you and to you. And so the first thing you want to do is you want to meditate on the Word of God every day. That's the first key, the first success habit is to be a meditator of the Word of God. To meditate, to think about God's Word, to read it every day. To say, to speak it over, to think about it, to just like, you know, worry is a kind of meditation. When you worry, you focus in and thinking about the negative, what the bad thing, what could happen. But you see, so that's a meditation. Worry is a meditation. But I'm talking about instead of thinking about and worrying about, you know, what's not going to happen or what might happen, bad things, I'm talking about meditating and thinking about what God says. My God shall supply all your needs. By the stripes of Jesus, you will heal. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You just think about that, think about that, think about that. Amen? Now, the second habit is found in the same verse. And it starts out, it says, keep this book of the law always on your mouth. So the second success habit is to say what God says. To keep on and always say what God says. Why? Why does God say, if you will meditate on my word day and night, and if you will keep it on your lips, and if you'll be careful to do everything it says, then you'll make your way prosperous and successful? See, God knows your words have creative power. God knows when you speak something out, you are giving life to what you are saying. Amen. You know your words are powerful.
Amen.
Your words have the power of life and death. That's what the scripture says. You ever heard the saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's actually not true. Words are very powerful, especially your own words. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah. And those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequence of their words. Be careful. A lot of people don't realize they're bearing the consequence of their words. Because of what they say, they don't realize that what they say, they're giving life to it when you say it. The contemporary Bible says words can bring death or life. Talk too much and you will eat everything you say. Ever heard that? I'm going to make you eat your words. Do you know you are actually eating your words? What do I mean? I mean, your life is a result of what you've been saying up until this point. It's one thing to believe that you're blessed. That's important, to believe that you're blessed. But when you say it, it takes on a whole new meaning. That's when blessings come looking for you. You see, in Psalm 107 verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say so. It doesn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord think so. Let the redeemed of the Lord believe so. Let the redeemed of the Lord hope so. That's all good. But you've got to take it one step further, and you've got to say so. You're going to say what God says. The second greatest success habit that you can ever practice in your life is to say what God says about you.
Amen.
To agree with Him. If you're going to go to the next level, you've got to say so. You've got to say what God's Word says. If you're going to accomplish your dreams, if you're going to overcome that obstacle, if you're going to break that addiction, you've got to start declaring it. It's got to come out of your mouth. That's how you give life to your faith.
Amen.
See, when God created this world, how many of you know God didn't just think it into being? Now, I happen to believe God created the world. You might believe that we evolved from monkeys. Let me tell you, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe the Bible. I believe God created this world. I believe in creation. How many of you believe God created the world? How many of you know how He did it? He didn't just think it into being. He didn't just believe there would be life, there would be land, there would be oceans, there would be animals. He had it in His heart, but But nothing happened until God said it. Isn't that right?
Yes.
In Genesis chapter 1, you can read the account of creation. In verse number 3, Genesis 1 verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was
light."
You know what was amazing? Is that that was before the sun had even been created.
Right.
The sun's created a few verses later. There's light but no sun. Verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it was so." And in verse 11, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, with whose fruit is in it, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so." Notice, "Then God said, and it was so." Then God said, and it was so. Verse 14, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years." And the scripture says, "Let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. In verse 20, "God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, the cattle, the creeping things." And the Bible says, and it was so. God said it, and it was so. And finally, verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Now notice, God's thoughts didn't set this into motion. God's words, when God said it. And you know, it's the same principle today. You can believe all day long and not see anything happen. You can believe the Bible. "I believe it, Pastor Steve. I believe the Bible. I believe God will meet my needs." You can believe it and yet never see it happen in your life. You can have faith in your heart. You can have big dreams. You can be standing on God's promises and never see anything change. What's the problem? Nothing will happen until you begin to speak and say what God says about you.
Amen.
Instead of just believing you're going to get out of debt, you've got to say so. Every day you're going to declare, "I'm coming out of debt. I'm the head, not the tail. I will lend and never need to borrow. Everything I put my hand to, it prospers." You're going to say what God says. Job 22 verse 28 says this: "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established." You will declare it, and it will be established. When you speak, just like when God spoke, things begin to happen. Opportunities begin to find you. Good breaks, promotion, ideas begin to track you down. Instead of just thinking, "Oh, I hope I get over this sickness. Oh, I'm praying, Steve, pray I'll get better." That's good, but take it one step further and start declaring, "I am strong, I am healthy, I will live and not die. With long life, God will satisfy me. God is restoring my health. By His stripes, I was healed. Jesus took my sickness. He bore my infirmities." You've got to begin to speak it out of your mouth. That's what activates your faith. Instead of just hoping you have a good year, instead of just hoping you accomplish your dream. Hope is good, but nothing happens until you begin to speak it out. Before you leave the house every day, you should declare, "Man, this is my year. Things have shifted in my favor. God is about to show me something I've never seen. Something good's going to happen to me today. Blessings are chasing me down. New doors are opening unto me. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. Everywhere I go, people like me. They want to bless me. They want to help me. Doors are opening for me." You need to begin to declare it. See, when you talk like that, let me tell you, angels go to work. Opening new doors for you. Lining up the right people for you. Arranging things in your favor. All of us are hoping and believing and praying about something. But my question is today, are you giving life to your faith by speaking it out of your mouth? Psalm 91, verse 2. It says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is my God. In Him I will trust." Say that. Say, "I will say of the Lord,
I will say of the Lord.
He's my refuge.
He's my
fortress. our God. In him our trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. Now notice the, did you notice the connection? It says, I will say, and surely he shall do. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and surely he shall deliver me. You see, I will say it, and then he will do it. It doesn't say, I believe he's my refuge and fortress. No, the psalmist went around speaking it out. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my God. Then what happened? God became his refuge. God became his fortress. God became his deliverer. Amen? See, God is saying, in effect, if you're bold enough to speak it out, then I'm bold enough to do it.
Amen.
Have you ever declared that your dreams are coming to pass? Have you ever said, I will pay off my house, I will start my own business, I will get my degree, I will lose this weight, I will see my family restored?
Yeah.
Whatever God has put in your heart, it needs to get into your conversation. You need to talk like it's going to happen. In fact, you need to talk like it's already on the way. You need to talk like it's already done.
Yeah.
Not if I get married, when I get married.
Amen.
Not if I graduate from college, when I graduate from college. Not if I see my family restored, when I see my family restored. Not if it's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. That's your faith being released. Now, what's the opposite of Psalm 91? I will not say, and he will not do. I will say of the Lord, surely he will deliver me. The opposite is, I will not say, and then he will not do. Nothing happens until you speak. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when we lost our building on Center Street last June, we moved out in June. We moved, started having services here in June. And when we lost our building, I didn't know how we're going to get another building. I didn't know him. I didn't know in my mind. In fact, my mind said to me, you're in trouble. It's all over. How are you going to get that building? What bank's going to work with you now? That's what my mind's telling me. But I just began to say, the Lord is bringing us another building. I just began to say, it's going to be a better building. And it's going to be in a better location. God is restoring double to us. Just like God restored to Job double. I said in faith, our payment is going to be half what it is now. Our payment at Center Street, our mortgage payment was $27,000 a month. And then insurance took it up to $30,000. And I just said, we're getting another building. The Lord's making a way where I don't see one. The Lord's going before us. The Lord's fighting my battles. God supplies all of my needs. Every statement I just made is scripture. Every statement. God supplied my needs. That is Philippians 4 verse 19. My God shall supply all your needs. The Lord's fighting my battles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. As they gave God praise, the Lord fought their battles. The Lord's taking what the enemy meant for my harm and turning it to my advantage. That's Genesis 50 verse 20. Where the Lord turned. Joseph said, what you meant for my harm, God turned around for my advantage. Isaiah 66. The Lord will go before you and level the mountains. I just said what God said. God's meeting all my needs. We're going to get another building. It's going to be a better building. The payment's going to be half what it was before. I said that when I had no idea, not a clue in the world, how it was going to happen. The Lord's making a way where I don't see a way. I didn't just think about it. I didn't just pray about it. I didn't just believe it would happen. That's important. All of that's important. But I took it one step further and I began to declare it, even publicly. How many times did I say back in Center Street, we're going to get another building. It's going to be better. It's going to be better located. We have the price. What happened?
get a phone call. We get a phone call at the church. A man named Joey. He said, I saw you on TV, and I want to help you. I've got a building. I want to sell it to you. It's on the main street, Indian Town Road, which is a better location than where we were before. Would you agree?
Yes.
Before, we were off in the side street. One of those little side streets, 35 miles an hour. I drive to church every day, get behind some slow poke. Because I'm the pastor, I can't be like, hum, 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 hum. He goes, Pastor. So I have to just 35. Sometimes 30. But how many know Indian Town Road's a better location than where we were before? And the building we're getting is a better building, brand new. Well, not business, not brand new, but everything's been meticulously maintained. We checked out all the aircon, all the AC units are about 5 years old. The old building, our AC units were 20 years old. We were replacing them all the time. We were always like duct taping everything together. We didn't have to put any money, or we had to put $75,000 down, which is, I mean, 10% would have been $300,000. The building's worth $3 million, 10% would have been. So we put down 2.5%. We've signed the contract, we're busy with zoning, we'll take occupation January 1st, then we start renovation. I believe we'll be having services there by March next year. On my birthday, we're going to be having services in March. Go back. Sister, go back. Now, do you know what I'm saying now? Do you know what I'm declaring now? Now I'm saying, my God supplies all my needs. I believe we have all the money we need for the building. I believe we have God, thank you, you supply all our needs. We have all the money we need to pay the lawyers, to pay for zoning, to pay for renovations, to pay the architect fees. Lord, I thank you for supplying all of our needs. Because when I look at the bank account, in the bank account says we don't have the money. The bank account says, no way, Jose. If I look at the bank account, we were supposed to pay $25,000. Our second payment of $25,000 was due on August 1st, and we didn't have it. So we haven't paid it. Right now, we're in breach. But, thank God, we have favor. But what I'm trying to say to you is, what are you saying, Pastor Steve? I'm saying my God supplies all of our needs. I'm saying we have all the money we need to buy this. Listen, God bought us the building. He's got a way for us to pay for this building. Right? You know what I'm not saying? I don't know how we're going to do this building. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think we're going to be able to raise this money. That's a lot of money. I don't think we'll have to do that. I don't know what's going to happen. No, I will say of the Lord, God, I know you're bigger than any obstacle. Lord, I know you're supplying all of our needs. Lord, I know you're El Shaddai. You're the God who's more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord my provider. I know if you're for me, who can be against me? I know I'll do all things in Christ who gives me strength. I'm completely and declaring that. When we first started our church in Cape Town in 1991, I was 27 years old. We first started our church, and the building would be half full. And people would come late, kind of like some of you all. And they would come late. And we'd be waiting for them, you know. And here you call it island time. There we call it Africa time. And I said to them, I said, the day will come that if you don't get here early, if you don't get to church early, you will not find a seat. And that day came. If you didn't get to our church early, you wouldn't get in the building. You'd be outside. And I declare, the day will come when this church is so full that if you don't get here before 10 a.m., you won't get in. The day will come when people will be lining up to get into our church.
But here's my question. What are you saying of the Lord? What are you saying of the Lord? Are you saying, Steve, my problems are so big, my dreams, man, they look impossible, my marriage is so messed up, it's never going to be restored? No, don't talk about how big your problem is. Talk about how big your God is. Yeah. When you say of the Lord, you're my healer, you're my way maker, you're my dream giver, you're my restorer, you're my vindicator, you're my provider, you're my health, you're my peace, you're my victory. That's when God will show up and do more than you can ask and more than you can think, family. Are you declaring victory over your life, over your family, over your career? Because nothing happens until you speak. You've got to say what God says. The Bible says this book of the law will always be on your lips. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. When you get up in the morning, you need to make some declarations of faith. You need to say what God's word says. You need to declare that it is coming to pass in the name of Jesus. I declare every day I'm increasing in the anointing of God. I'm increasing in wisdom and in favor and in influence. Every message is getting better. Jesus is building Christian Family Church. When people see me on TV, they can't switch me off. I declare you've got to speak favor into your future. I declare my children will fulfill their destiny. Their gifts and talents will come out to the full. They will supersede anything that I've done in my life. When you declare favor over your life and favor over your future, let me tell you, God will make things happen that never should have happened. You see, your attitude should be, I'm coming out of debt and I'm saying so. This is my year and I'm saying so. I will overcome every obstacle and I'm saying so. My God supplies all my needs and I'm saying so. When you, whatever you keep saying, that's what you're moving towards. You might be struggling in your finances, but when you keep on declaring, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I have the favor of God, everything I put my hand to, God prospers it. The windows of heaven are open above me, and God's pouring blessings on me. Blessings are chasing after me. Everywhere I go, blessings are chasing me down. Let me tell you, every time you say it, you're moving toward increase. You're getting closer to seeing that come to pass. You might be facing a sickness. It doesn't look good. But every time you declare out of your mouth, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm getting better, the Lord's restoring my health, the Lord is my healer, you're moving toward health, you're moving toward wholeness, victory. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Every time you declare, I am free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This addiction doesn't control me. You're moving toward freedom. You're moving toward breakthrough. But see, here's the catch. This works in the positive, and it also works in the negative. If you're always speaking out negatively, oh, I'm so unlucky, nothing good ever happens to me, I never get any good breaks, nobody likes me, nobody loves me, no one wants to bless me, nothing good ever happens to me, nothing good ever comes my way, then you're moving toward bad breaks. Oh, my back's been hurting for 3 years, I don't think I'm ever going to get well. You're moving toward more sickness, toward more pain. Oh, I've been through so much, Pastor Steve. I don't think I'm ever going to be happy again in my life. You're moving toward discouragement. You're moving toward more sadness. But if you'll change what you're saying, you will change what you're seeing. If you'll change what you're saying, then you will change what you are seeing.
Amen.
Romans 4 verse 17 declares, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls the things that do not exist as if they did. In fact, the NIV Bible says God calls into being things that were not. The Amplified Bible says God speaks of non-existent things that He has promised as if they already existed. The New Living Translation says He creates new things out of nothing. God wants us to do the same thing He does. We created in His image. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. You see, God speaks out what He believes, and we also, created in His image, are to speak out what we believe. We've got the same spirit of faith. God promises in Isaiah chapter 57, He says, I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of your lips. You see, often we do just the opposite of this. We call the things that are as if they're always going to be that way. Instead of calling things that are not as if they are, we call the things that are as if they're always going to be like that. In other words, we just describe the situation. Oh, prices are so high. I don't see how I'm going to make it. You're calling in more struggle. You're calling in more lack. Oh, I can't stand my job. My boss gets on my nerves. You're calling in more frustration and more defeat. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation.
Amen.
Look what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have whatever he says. Jesus told us, speak to the mountain. When you're facing a mountain, speak to the mountain. Most times, you know what we do? We speak about the mountain. Have I told you about the problem that I'm facing? Oh, the mountain I'm facing is so big, and it is so wide. It's got big trees on the mountain. They describe the problem. We use our words often to describe the mountain, to speak about the mountain. But Jesus said, if we believe that the things that we say will be done, then we will have whatever we say. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. What are you saying over your life? What are you saying about the mountains that you face? Because if you want to know what your life's going to be like in 5 years from now, listen to what you're saying about yourself. You are prophesying your future. I declare 5 years from now, my message is going to be better than they are now. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to be better looking. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. I declare, man, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. Every time you say it, you're moving towards it. But if you're always saying, oh, I'm so out of shape, I'm never going to lose this weight, then you're moving toward the wrong thing. I've heard people say when you hit 50, it's all downhill.
No.
I've heard people say that when you hit 50, it's all downhill. They are declaring they're going down. They're calling in poor health. They're calling in weakness. Now, I realize we're all going to get older, and we're all eventually going to die, but I don't make plans to go downhill. Don't start speaking defeat over your life. And you know what the scripture says about Moses? In Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died, and yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. I remember Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, one of my mentors. We went to Rhema Bible School, Jill and I, Rhema Bible College, and Kenneth Hagin's gone home to be with the Lord a few years ago. I think he was 86. But I remember when he was 83. I went to hear him. I flew over from South Africa and went to Miami, to Words of Life Church in Miami Gardens. Pastor Stan and Geraldine Moore, he's gone home to be with the Lord. And Kenneth Hagin used to go to his church every year. And we flew over with Pastor Theo and went to, for 2 weeks conference with Brother Hagin. And I remember, at 83 years old, he would say, he and his wife still had a great sex life. Yes, I said, well, did he just say sex life? Well, that woke some people up. Yes, that's what I said. At 83, he said, we have a great sex life. We have sex 3 times a week. That's what he said. I'm quoting him. I'm quoting him. I'm quoting him. And I thought to myself, that's a man after my own heart. Why? Because how many think it's pretty good 83 to be healthy, strong, and married, having sex 3 times a week? Some of you are afraid to even Let me tell you, in spite of how you feel, and in spite of your family medical history, every day you need to declare, everything about me is getting better and better. My bones, my joints, my ligaments, my blood, my organs, my memory, my vision, my hearing, my talent, my skill, my looks. My youth is being renewed every day like Moses. I'm going to finish my course with my eyes got dim, as strong as I ever was. Now, if you don't want If you say no, Pastor Steve, I want to get weaker and weaker, and I want to get sick, and go right ahead. As for me, that's not my plans. Because let me tell you, when you talk like that, you're moving toward renewed youth and health and vitality and energy. It's a lot better than getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror, and saying, man, I'm getting so old. Look at all those wrinkles. Look how bad I look. Look at all that gray hair. I'm so out of shape. Let me tell you, you keep moving toward that, in 5 years, it's going to be scary. You need a better say-so. Don't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want to be. You prophesying your future. Hello? Some ladies say, I've got 5 pounds to lose. And it's 20 years and they've had 5 pounds to lose for 20 years. You know why? Because they've said, I've got 5 pounds to lose. I still got just 5 pounds to lose. Maybe you're in a difficult time today. Instead of complaining, which just draws in more defeat, your declaration should be, I have grace for this season. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me and giving life to my body. And those that are for me are much greater than those that are against me. Amen. See, when you say that, strength comes. Courage comes. Confidence comes. Endurance comes. If you go through a disappointment or a loss or a bad break, instead of saying, I don't know how this happened to me, it's just so unfair, that's just going to draw in more self-pity. Your declaration should rather be, God promised me beauty for ashes. God promised me joy for mourning. I'm not staying here. I'm moving forward. New beginnings are in my future. The rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. This is my year for divine acceleration and increase in the name of Jesus. I mean, what a difference that'll make in your life. You talk like that, let me tell you, you are moving toward double for your trouble. You are moving away from self-pity, and you are moving toward God's goodness in a new way in your life. One of the best things you can do is take a few minutes every day and make these positive declarations over your life. Write down not just your dreams and your goals and your vision, but write down any areas where you want to improve, anything where you want to see change. And put that list somewhere that you see it every day. And before you leave the house, take a few minutes and declare those things over your life. Speak it over your life. If you struggle with self-esteem, if you feel less than, you need to declare every day, I am confident, I am valuable, I am one of a kind, I'm chosen by God, I'm wearing a crown of favor. Let me tell you, you declare that, and you're going to go out with your shoulders back and with your head held up high with a new attitude. If you struggle with your weight, declare, I'm in shape, man. I am healthy. I am my ideal weight. I'm full of energy. I'm disciplined. Amen. Instead of saying, I'm so undisciplined. I'm so undisciplined. I'm just so undisciplined. I just can't say no to that donut. I don't know why it is. I can't say no. Say, I'm disciplined. It may not be true right now, but keep saying it and you're going to move towards it. Instead of living guilty and condemned, focusing on mistakes you made in the past, rather declare, because some people, they live their life guilty. They live their life with such condemnation. Rather declare, I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am pleasing to God. I'm living holy by His grace. I've been cleansed. Thank you, Lord. Joel 3 verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say let the weak talk about their weakness, call 5 friends and explain why you're feeling so weak. You cannot talk defeat and expect to have victory. You cannot talk sickness and expect to have health. You cannot talk lack and expect to prosper. You've got to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. When you're in a tough time and someone asks you, how's it going? Don't go through the sad song of everything that's wrong in your life. Oh, my back's been hurt. Traveling so bad today. My boss isn't treating me right. The dishwasher broke down. The goldfish died. Dog doesn't like me. I tell you right now, it's not going good at all. All that's going to do is draw in more defeat. You've got to turn it around. You've got to have a report of victory. When someone asks you how you're doing, you've got to say, man, I'm doing great. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm prosperous. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. Because what you consistently talk about is what you are, what you're moving towards. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says you're snared by the words of your mouth. The contemporary Bible says you're trapped by your own words. You know, a lot of people don't realize they are being held in chains by their own words. Invisible chains. Could it be, if you would simply change what you are saying, you would see a dream come to pass. You'd see a breakthrough. You'd see a healing. You'd see a restoration. That's what happened to my dad. My dad became a Christian later in life. He was 45 when he gave his heart to the Lord. I never thought that I'd see that happen because he was so anti. He had every argument in the book against Christians and against Christianity. And so when he got saved, man, I'll tell you right now, I was amazed. And he'd smoked cigarettes for over 25 years. And he tried to quit, but he couldn't. And this is many years ago, and Pastor Theo said to him, Pat, I want you just to say this. I have no desire to smoke cigarettes. I can't stand the taste of nicotine. And he said, why are you lighting up and puffing away? Say, I can't stand the taste of nicotine. I've got no desire to smoke cigarettes. I've got no desire to smoke cigarettes. Can't stand the taste of nicotine. He was calling things that were not as though they were. He wasn't talking about the way that it was. He was talking about the way he wanted it to be. A few months later, that desire just suddenly left. He never smoked again. He broke that addiction by the power of his words. He prophesied his future. Some of you have spent years saying negative things over your life. Oh, I can't break this addiction. Oh, my marriage is never going to make it. Oh, I'm never going to get out of debt. Oh, I tell you what, I could never do that. Oh, no, I don't think I could ever do it. Listen, you've got to send out your words in a new direction. You're prophesying the wrong thing. You've got to get in the habit of making these positive declarations over your life. A young man came to me right before the service today. He said, Pastor Steve, since I've been coming to this church, I just want to tell you, I'm just so thankful for what you've been teaching because I've become so positive. I used to be so negative, and I've become so positive. And I got blessed this week. I got a brand new, he was in an accident, and he got a brand new car. And he said, I really believe it's because I've been positive. What he means is faith. Yes. See, every day you need to declare your dreams are coming to pass. It's not enough just to believe it. Remember, nothing happens until you speak it. In Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, with the heart one believes to righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, with the heart you believe, but with the mouth confession is made unto. See, like the psalmist, when you say of the Lord, then God will do what he promised. When you agree and say what God says, then God's word will become a reality in your life. I want to lead you in a couple of these declarations today. I want to ask you to say this like you mean it today. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm
blessed. Say, I'm prosperous.
I'm prosperous.
Say, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Say, I am healthy.
I'm
talented.
I
am creative.
I
am confident.
I
am secure.
I
am disciplined.
I
am focused.
I'm
attractive.
I'm
well liked.
I
have a good personality. The right people are in my future.
The
right opportunities
are
headed my way.
Say,
I will accomplish my dreams.
I
will overcome every obstacle.
Things
have shifted in my favor.
God's
about to show me something like I've never seen. Say, it's going to be bigger, better, greater than what I ever imagined. Say, I am redeemed of the Lord, and I'm saved so today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. Give God praise today, Lord. Thank you. So, what is the second greatest success habit that you can ever put into practice is what? Say what God says about you. Say the same thing about you that God says about you. Even when you don't have a dime in the bank, you might be overdrawn at the bank. What do you say? My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Everything I put my hand to prospers. The windows of heaven open above me. God pouring blessings on me. Blessings are chasing me down. Here I go. Blessings chasing after me. If you're feeling sick, if you have an illness in your body, something's wrong physically, what do you say?
I'm
By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed.
Yes.
He himself took my sicknesses and he bore my infirmities. Yes. The Lord's restoring health to me. I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm getting better and better and better.
Amen.
If you're struggling with an addiction, instead of saying, I tell you what, I'm never going to break this addiction. I've tried so many times. I've been in and out of rehab, and this has been in my family for 3 generations, and I'm never. Instead of saying that, say, you know what? The Lord has delivered me from the power of darkness. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare I have been delivered. I declare I am free. I declare I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
Amen. Say what God says. Now, how are you going to know what God says if you never read His book?
Amen.
How are you going to know? How are you going to be able to say what God says if you don't know what He says? And the problem with a lot of Christians is they've listened to what some preacher told them God says instead of reading His book for themselves.
Amen.
They've listened to some preacher, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. They listen to some preacher. You've got to read God's word for yourself.
Amen.
And I especially, now read the whole Bible, but especially you want to focus on the New Testament. Because the New Testament is written for you today. I'm not saying don't read the Old Testament, but you really want to focus on the New Testament. I spend more time in the New Testament than I do in the Old Testament because that's written for me today. And when you read the New Testament, you'll find out what God says about you. God says you're blessed. God says I'm blessed, so I say I'm blessed. God says you're strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. This is that simple. You read what God says, and then you say what He says about you. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get something out of this today?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I did. Say this,
I will meditate
and think about
the Word of God.
I will meditate on what God says. And say,
I will say
what God says about me. I will keep God's Word in my mouth. In Jesus' name. You know, it's amazing. When you say what God says, you don't have to make it happen. He makes it happen. Okay, I said about this building. A new building. Show me our new building. Say this about our new building. Give me the pictures. When I said, Lord, thank you, you're providing us with a new building, you're meeting all of our needs, I have got no idea. I can't make it happen. In fact, we said, this building has happened without any help from us, other than the fact that we said what God said.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, surely He will do. Amen. There's our new building on Center Street. Currently, I don't want to do that. All right. Bow your heads for a moment. I want to pray for you. Close your eyes if you would. Father, I pray for every person here today. I thank you that your word has gone forth. And I believe it has found a resting place in every person's heart. And Lord, I thank you that not one person will leave here today and just be a hearer of your word. But I thank you, Lord, that we are doers of your word.
Yes.
I thank you for helping us to put into practice, to begin to do what we've learned, what we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be able to say what you say in the name of Jesus. Now, while you have your eyes closed, before I close the service, before we move on, I want to pray, especially right now, for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I would go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely sure. I'm not absolutely certain. Let me tell you, the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity. You can know for sure that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're going to pray, because I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. Won't you pray for me? If that's you, I want you quickly right now to just lift your, slip your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Did anyone lift up a hand? No. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jill.
That. You got something out of that?
Amen.
That's good. That's practical preaching, right? That's something that we can do. That we don't have to wait for Sunday for something to change. We can be making a change all through the week. And you know, now's the time where we're going to receive the offering. And so there are envelopes on the seats, right where you are. You can prepare yourself. But I just was thinking about it. You know, when we speak in the Word of God, you know, different circumstances we're going through. Maybe we're going through something in a marriage, and then you really focusing on speaking to that area. Maybe you've got a child that really needs your attention or going, off the rails a bit, and you've got to speak the word in that area. But in the area of finances, it's a big deal to all of us, right? Everybody deals with finances in this world, and if you have a lack of finances, it's a big deal. And so it is definitely an area we need to be speaking the word of God over. Amen. And there's a lot of scriptures that Pastor Steve mentioned, a number of them. One of them being Philippians 4:19, which says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I love that, the fact that he says according to his riches. He provides according to his riches. So I don't have to worry about it being something that I'm doing, but it's his riches. But I was, so let's say that. Say,
my God
supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But now, what I want to say as we prepare to give in the offering, it's almost like telling you a half-truth if we only read that verse out of context. Because you've got to know the context in which Paul wrote that. I'm going to read you just two verses that came before that. Paul said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." And then he went on and said, my God will supply all your needs. So he was talking to givers. He was talking to people that supported. He said, other people didn't give, but you sent aid once and again to help me in the ministry. And therefore, he said, "And my God will supply all your need." That's the principle of sowing and reaping. Amen? So when we confess the word of God concerning giving, make sure you're in the right place, that you're being obedient to the principles, so that the confession will work in your life. Amen? And secondly, there's another scripture. I'm just going to read three. The second one, we know it. It says in Malachi, "I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% in the storehouse, so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing." Say, "Thank you, Lord, that you have the windows of heaven open above me, and you are flooding me with blessing after blessing." That's the way we speak. When you think lack, speak prosperity. Amen? Speak the word of God. The last one, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, of your income. Then your barns will be abundantly filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. So God promises to overflow us. And I'm giving you just those three because when you face a difficulty in a certain area, you want to speak the word, find those specific verses. There's three right there. Learn them by heart and confess them over your life just as they are. So say this. Say, thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
that as I honor you,
by tithing and giving,
you bring overflow into my life this week in Jesus' name. Amen. So that means that even when it looks like I don't have enough, when it looks like I'm going under, when it looks like it's not right, I do what God says and I receive, I speak as if it's true. Amen. So as we prepare to give, those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. There are envelopes on the seats in front of me if you want to take them. We're going to make a confession over it. Ushers, give us a moment. We're just going to make the tithe confession. There are different ways to give. You can give, my favorite is by text, online. You can do a recurring giving online as well, which is a blessing to the church. So thank you. You wanted to say something?
Yes, those who are watching us online, we're glad you joined us today. And thank you for your support. Remember, you can give online right there, wherever you may be. And I want to thank everyone who has given toward, you can Twitter online or not, but everyone who has given toward our new building, I want to thank you for your support, for your generosity.